Hello, bonjour, grüezi, ciao, allegra. Welcome to Swiss Info's weekly news program for March 23rd. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jessica Dacey in Bern. And yes, in this program, we'll look at the linguistic confusion that is Switzerland. We try to get a grasp of the multitude of dialects and languages found in Switzerland and find out what language means to the Swiss when they leave their homeland and what it means to people who are moving here. Say the word Rösti, and most people will think of a popular Swiss potato dish. But it is also used to describe an invisible line that divides the French and German-speaking parts of Switzerland. Travel along the so-called Röstigraben, and you come to the officially bilingual town of Biel, or Bienne as it's known in French. There's Sierre, or Cedars, Merton, or Morat. You get the idea. Switzerland has four national languages. 65% of people have German as their mother tongue. 20% are native French speakers. 6.5% speak Italian, and fewer than 1% speak Romansh. So just how do people understand each other? To find out more, Swissinfo's Julia Slater went along to a new exhibition on dialects at the Swiss National Library in Bern.
He likes a
tomate.
And he likes a
tomata.
Tomate.
Tomata. Tomata.
Tomate.
Apologies to the Gershwins and their tomato, tomato song. But it's not just English where people pronounce things differently depending where they come from. And you ain't heard nothing yet. There's plenty more at the exhibition, which has the intriguing name Saperlot, or Sacré Double, or Sacerlotu, or Saperlotas. Four names, because Switzerland has four languages, German, French, Italian and Romansh.
It's actually a swear word, but also an expression of surprise, admiration or astonishment. It's a little bit old-fashioned, not much used anymore. We thought it was very suitable, and what was also nice was that we found equivalents in the other three Swiss languages.
That was Peter Erismann of the National Library, one of the curators of the exhibition. There may be four languages, but you'd be hard put to count the dialects. In some parts of Switzerland, you could, and in a few places possibly still can, say which village a person came from the way they spoke. Switzerland is a paradise for linguists, if a nightmare for linguophobes. The phonogram archive of Zurich University has been recording examples of dialects for just over 100 years. The archive's Michael Schwarzenbach is the exhibition's other curator.
We have a great number of different recordings, and so it was very difficult to focus on 40 recordings for the exhibition. So we decided to show our historical recordings, but not only that, we wanted to show also actual recordings based on television transmissions or on comedy or literary texts, so we choose to make a mix of different recordings and not only to choose historical ones.
The use of dialect varies considerably from one language area to the next. Although High German, the official language of Germany and the language foreigners learn at school, is what Swiss Germans, two-thirds of the population, read and write, it's not what they speak. Their normal everyday speech is dialect or Mundart. And that applies to everyone, from the inhabitants of remote villages to professors and cabinet members. Mundart is very much alive. But don't run away with the idea that Swiss German is all the same. Remember those tomatoes and keep listening, and you'll hear in a moment just how different the living dialects are and why people who've learned German at school, and that includes the French-speaking Swiss, have such difficulty when they try it out in the German-speaking areas of Switzerland. Dialect is part of everyday life for the Swiss Germans, and indeed part of their identity. The situation is completely different in the French-speaking parts of Switzerland. Listen to this.
Quand il penche, moulimont, to Candria et Pella, les uns rigeons d'aimé, les enfants méfièges ont dit père, et les tiens tirons sur Lucène à un zap. Les rodots en grandin, un vertot portier.
Even if you're a native speaker of French, I'd be very surprised if you understood anything of that. It's an example of the patois of Gruyère, one of the few patois which is just hanging on today, but spoken by practically no one under the age of about 60. That brief extract featured a beggar telling how people laugh at him and the children throw stones, but I only know that because I read it. The recordings in the Zurich archive go back to 1909, but researchers are very interested in what's happening to the languages of Switzerland now. So the exhibition also includes two interactive stations where visitors can record their own speech. I promised a moment ago that I'd show how different Swiss-German dialects are from each other, and different from High German. Here are three examples from the German version of the interactive station. First, curator Peter Erismann, who grew up in Biel, just west of Bern. Next, a speaker of the German spoken in the Zenza district of Canton Fribourg, about 30 kilometres away. And finally, a native speaker of High German. First, they are churches.
Das sind Kirchen. Das sind Chöre.
Das sind Kirchen.
It's two girls.
Das sind zwei Mädchen. Das sind zwei Mädchen.
Das sind zwei Mädchen.
It's snowing.
Es schneit.
Es schneit.
Es schneit.
If you grew up speaking a Swiss language, this is where you come in. The researchers would be delighted if you would help too, even if you now live abroad. The site is also online. The address is different for each of the four languages, but basically it's the word for voices, Stimmen, Voix, Voci, Wuschs, .uzh.ch. The link is also on swissinfo.ch, attached to our story about the exhibition. And if you didn't grow up speaking a Swiss language, don't despair. Enjoy. Here's the poet Niklas Meyenberg having fun with the irregular verbs of his native St. Gallen dialect in a poem called Hent.
Hent. Wa mir nicht hent, hat niemand. Wa mir nicht gent, hat niemand. Wa mir nicht kennt, kann niemand. Niemand kann, wa mir könnt. Niemand geht, wa mir gent. Niemand tut, wa mir tönt. Wa mir wend, wenn mir nicht. Niemand weht, wa mir wend. Niemand steht, wo mir stönt. Wo mir stönt, stönt mir nicht. Niemand sieht, wa mir...
Julia Slater reporting there from the Swiss National Library in Bern. The exhibition Sapelo runs until August. So does language become part of your identity if you're Swiss? Around 700,000 Swiss live abroad. While most live in France, Germany or Italy, many have gone to countries where they're having to learn a new language. I caught up with Sabine Silberstein, a Swiss who now lives in Singapore and was back in Bern for a meeting of the Committee of the Swiss Abroad organization. Which of the Swiss national languages do you speak?
I speak German. I speak French, not as good as I used to before I moved to Asia.
So how does it feel to be able to speak your mother tongue again, even if it's only for a couple days?
Well, I speak my mother tongue on a daily basis because my husband is German-speaking Swiss like myself. So at home, I do speak my mother tongue if it's just the two of us.
And in your day-to-day work in Singapore, what's the main language you use to communicate in these days?
English only. But Singlish, which is a very bad English, I always call it, it's English with Chinese grammar, and Chinese doesn't have any grammar. So if I say yesterday I went, nobody knows what the verb to went mean. I have to say yesterday I go.
And how much do you feel of your identity is tied up with speaking your mother tongue?
Not sure if mother tongue is all my identity. I feel quite comfortable in English now.
And do you feel you connect with people differently in a different language, or that some of the subtleties of language are lost when you're communicating?
It depends on which language. If I have to speak French now, yes. I miss some words which I'm more comfortable using in German or English because I'm out of practice.
Do you feel that communicating with different people in different languages... there is a difference.
There is, yes. And as an example, we do have a Swiss association in Singapore, and as we have a French-speaking president, an Italian-speaking vice president, and a German-speaking treasurer in the Swiss association, the main language is English. So we all communicate in probably not the perfect British English, but we get along very well.
That was Swiss national Sabine Silberstein, a member of the Swiss Abroad Council. Nearly a quarter of people living in Switzerland are foreign nationals. In November, plans were presented to Parliament to improve their integration. The measures include making language courses mandatory for family members of non-EU immigrants and when renewing limited residency permits. And more recently, there's been criticism of foreign executives who are accused of living in a parallel society. One where they send their children to international schools, speak English, and are generally unconcerned by what happens around them. Such executives typically come to the country for around 3 years. For those working in the many multinationals that have set up offices in Switzerland, English is the lingua franca. Well, we asked Swissinfo readers if it was fair to expect foreign nationals to learn a local language when they come to Switzerland. Many said they had a raw deal.
Because of the multiple languages in Switzerland, it's got to be one of the hardest countries for a busy foreigner to integrate into.
There just isn't time or the chance to become fluent in a local dialect we might be exposed to socially a few hours a week. Our careers and our families are all-consuming, and frankly, our brains are no longer wired for it.
I'd say learning the basics of a language when living in a country is a basic of politeness and respect.
Not only are language classes for adults a hot topic, but in Zurich, the issue of international schools is causing a stir. Most international schools in Zurich teach German, but still follow a foreign curriculum. Places at such schools are at a premium in Zurich and other parts of the country, following the boom in foreign workers in recent years. But as of August, parents will have to start using state schools in Zurich unless they can prove their stay in the city will be temporary or that their children are continuing a non-German language education. Swissinfo's Matt Allen has been following the story. I spoke to him earlier and began by asking him what was the thinking behind the law.
Well, it's a rule that they actually came up with in the autumn of last year. The problem is that local Swiss people are more and more sending their children to international schools to give their children international education. This might be because local people work for multinational companies and think they'll be working abroad themselves. But the local education authorities don't like this. Simultaneously, we've got a big argument going on, big debates rather, for years that the influx of foreign workers are forming ghettos and they're not integrating very well into the local communities. Even those who stay for quite some time, a number of years, are still isolating themselves and sending their children into these international schools. And this rule would catch up with some of these people as well.
A number of bilingual schools have been springing up to bridge this gap between local and international schools. Why are they different to other international schools?
Well, what they do is these bilingual schools. In Zurich, you've got the Swiss International School, which actually offers courses both in the International Baccalaureate in English and also in German for the local curriculum. And also another one that's expanding is called the Tandem International Multilingual School. They're not actually international schools, even though they've got international in their name. They kind of bridge the gap in offering courses in both the local curriculum, in the local language, and at the same time, simultaneously, in English for the International Baccalaureate. So they're accepted by the Zurich cantonal authorities as being sort of local schools because they offer this local curriculum. What a lot of the international schools do is say, well, we do teach German. We do a few of our classes in German, but it's not enough because they don't follow the local curriculum. So these schools are sort of bridging the gap and might well be used by quite a few foreign workers or even locals wanting their children to have an international education. I'm sure there are other such schools around Switzerland as well, but these are the two I've come across in Zurich. And they feel that they'll get a lot more demand because of this new regulation.
Swissinfo's Matt Allen speaking to me from Zurich. Well, that's all we have time for now. For more on any of these stories and Julia Slater's extended report on languages, go to swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Dacey.